about believing and rejoicing. And I started with the scripture in Psalms 51. And the scripture, when David was going through his ups and downs, and he always said, you know, though my world's falling apart, everyone's trying to kill me, this is going on bad, my face is in the dirt. But then he always comes back to, but God, you're good. God, you're bringing me through this. God, I am coming out of this a victor. And the scripture that was going through my mind was, in the Passion, it says, let my passion for life be restored, tasting joy in every breakthrough you bring me. The King, New King James says, create in me, in Psalms 51, verse number 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Now, when he's saying, do not cast me away from your presence, he's not blaming God, or he's not thinking he's cast away. He's just reminding God of what his word says. God, your word says this, and this is what I believe. Restore to me this joy that I had when we first came. And there was a time where, you know, my face was dragging the ground, and I was praying, God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Has anyone's face ever drugged the ground and they've had to pray, God, I need some grace here, I need some help here? The Voice translation says, give back to me the deep delight of being saved by you. Let your willing spirit sustain me. Notice he said, let your willing spirit. He knows God's willing. And God is willing, but remember it says, he's pouring out these blessings to those whose heart is perfect toward him. Well, we're not all perfect except for Wesley and Jim, but Jim's not here. So Wesley, you're perfect. You know, but what it means here is you're supposed to agree.
Too much in your
life. Yeah, that's wonderful. But when it says create in me, whose heart is perfect is those who's searching and wanting God's goodness and wanting to do what he said to us. They're wanting to live the life of faith. We're searching for it. And he's pouring out to those who want it. Amen. Are you a wanter? I'm a wanter. Amen. And I said that we should be so satisfied, so joyful, so overflowing with life that we should be, that it should seem almost ridiculously optimistic to the unbelievers around you. Now, I know we can't be like that every second of the day, but when you're done crying, wipe those tears off your face and straighten up, pull your pants up, put your happy hat on, and let everyone see how good God is. How they can see the faith inside of you that God is bringing you through this. God is helping you overcome this. Because there's times where we're going to cry. There's times we're going to be sad. There's times where, you know, we stump our toe or get a big cut on our nose. But even though that happened, we're wiping the blood off. We may be one of the testimonies Brother Keith gives about a lady, and he was encouraging her. She kept saying everything. She had some type of stomach cancer, and she kept saying, every time I eat, I throw up. Every time I eat, and he kept trying to encourage her, stop saying that. But every time if you do throw up, wipe your face off, and then say, everything I eat stays down. You know, I failed very hard. I was trying to explain faith off the top of my head about, faith is those things that we don't see yet as though they were. But a lot of people are focusing on those things that are as though they are not. And that's not faith. When we're sitting around saying, pain this, I want to be well, when we're focusing on what it is instead of what we don't see yet. And that's what faith is. So when we're believing for those things we haven't seen yet, we're leaving and we're going around with that joy, that smile. You remember on Batman, the Joker with the big weird smile on his face? If you've got to get some lipstick and paint a smile on your face, well, do that. And don't go out of the house, but do that. But if you've got to make yourself get happy, do that. Because when you, remember, that's what faith is. It's taking a fleshly step and you step into the Spirit. It's you moving something. So if you're in the midst of turmoil, you laughing. Even the Word says that God laughs before His enemies. You getting into the Word and you laughing it out, you know, getting rid of all that pain and all that upsetness on the inside of you. And I am not where I'm, where I don't have any of that in my notes, so that was free. Amen. I want to get to some new stuff here. I played for you last time a video of missionary Mark Zuck when he was ministering to the Mook tribe of Papua New Guinea, and they had never heard the gospel ever for the first time, and so he presented it in a way with objects and things to help them understand it. In the video that we saw, they cheered, it said, for 2.5 hours, cheering how wonderful God is, how happy they were about that. Now, as we grow up, you know, we don't laugh anymore, and we don't cut up anymore, and we don't get happy. No, we're supposed to, we talked about last time, seeing, well, actually, I'll put it up here. I got to find it. You'll enjoy it. Unless you receive the revelation of the kingdom the same way a little child receives it. You know, when you tell a little child they're going to do something, they believe you. Hey, we're going to go get a milkshake. Oh, I remember one time when I was little, I went to visit Pastor James. He had a little house, an itty-bitty house, and he had told me that he was going to make nachos. And I believed him, you know. But it came time for David, my older brother, between James and I, we were both visiting at the same time. And it came time for us to go home, and he hadn't made the nachos yet. And I let him know, you haven't made the nachos yet that you promised me. So guess what he did? He went into the kitchen and he made his nachos. It was some type of something he put in the oven with chips and stuff. But to me as a kid, I didn't get that at home. And that was the best thing I had ever had in my life. But I believed what he said and, you know, I held him to it. We should believe what God's Word says and hold Him to it. And that's what He wants. Not in an arrogant way, but in a way that we believe Him. Father, I believe your word, and I'm happy about it. You know, when you give a little kid a gift, they don't sheepishly say, oh, no, this is too much, you can't do that. No, they're going to take it, you know, and shred the paper and throw it all over the place. And that's what we should do with his word. We should take it, we should grab it, we should keep it. You know, it's mine. Like, you know, when a dog gets a bone, he knows two things. This bone is good, and this bone is mine, and you're not getting it away from them. Amen? And that's how we should act on God's Word. Now, I wanted to share with you some scriptures about feast that God told His children that they should celebrate. And they start in Deuteronomy. Let me get there on the screen because I'm skipping around on my notes here. They start in Deuteronomy. I'm going to read what I copied out of the, it was a commentary about the feast. But it said, the Lord established three feasts, the feast of unleavened bread, the feast of the harvest, and the feast of ingathering. Added to the discussion are the laws concerning how to worship during the feast. They were designed to give the people time to share the bounty of the Lord with him, and with one another, and with the poor. But he also established those festivals which would help them retain a national identity as his covenant people, Each person was responsible to keep the covenant and love their neighbor, but the covenant was between the Lord and all the people. These feasts were opportunities for the people of Israel to remember their national history, remember their covenant, and enjoy the benefits of being the Lord's people. He delivered them, He protected them, and He constantly provided for them. In return, they, in unity, were to acknowledge His gracious acts on their behalf. And so, here we see, now, the things we see in the Word and the things we see in the Old Testament, you know, we shouldn't discount the Old Testament, because everything in the Old Testament sets up what the New Testament is, and we see all throughout the New Testament them referring back to the Old Testament, so we shouldn't forget about it. But all those things that happened in the Old Testament are like types and shadows where we should apply those things to our life now. And in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse number 5, it says, that you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put His name for His dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your... Now notice here, these are kind of like commands from God. You're going to do this. This isn't like if you feel like it, you know, that old joke about the guy, the wife is trying to wake the man up. You know, you got to go to church, you got to go to church. I don't want to go to church. You got to go to church. You know, they don't like me there. You got to go to church. I don't want to go. And then she finally says, you got to go. You're the pastor. You got to go. So these are things He's telling them, this is what you're going to do. There you shall, verse number 6, there you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. The Voice translation in verse number 7 says, eat your sacred meats there in His presence, and celebrate with your whole household how the Eternal, your God, has blessed everything you've done. Now, we see this in the Word in verse number 7. It says, and you shall rejoice. This is God not saying, you shall, it's not an option here. Some people may see this as an option, but even though He said, you're going to rejoice. But people might say, well, under the right circumstances, under the right environment, if it's not too cold in the room, if the music isn't too loud, or if if Matthew's preaching, I don't know about that, or whatever it is. But the Lord said, every time you come into My house, you shall rejoice. Your household, you should be dragging the kids here, you know, dragging the loved ones here. Your whole household, every time you come into My house, you shall rejoice. You will rejoice. It's a requirement He's asking us in this Word. You shall rejoice. Amen. Now, I'm going to get to, well, I'm getting ahead of myself here. I was going to add something there, but I'm going to add it in just a moment. In the New Testament, it says in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Amen. So what if I'm in jail, chained to a wall, with all sorts of stuff flowing at my feet, rats climbing everywhere? Should I rejoice then? Because that's when Paul wrote this, when he was in jail, chained to a wall. I don't know how he wrote it, chained to a wall. But somehow he wrote this while he was in prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I'm going to tell you to rejoice again. But what if I don't feel like it? What if it's been a hard day? What if my dog bit me on the lip? Whatever it is. For some reason, my daughter bites the cat on the ear. I don't understand. I'm telling you, rejoice. Now, we shouldn't get our feathers ruffled about the word requirement. You know, this day and age, you tell people this is requirement. You know, Jerry's the boss. Like I said, Jerry's done everything. But she's a boss over people. When you lay down the law, do some of the people like it? When you say this is the rules, you know, you can't take a smoke break every 5 minutes. You can't smoke marijuana in the bathroom. You can't goof off behind the boxes and watch YouTube. I mean, are those things you might have to tell your employees? And some of them probably don't like it, do they? However, it's a requirement. But you say that word requirement, some people will get their feelings. I mean, heaven forbid we actually do what the word tells us to do. Keith Moore tells a story about he was preaching on something, and a lady came up to him afterwards, and she was like, I just can't believe what you're saying is true. I'm just not going to accept it. You know, what you were preaching. He said, what do you mean, the word? I was preaching straight out of the Bible, but I'm just not going to accept it. You know what the song says? The song says this. The song? He was preaching from the word. And we should be taking what the word says, and we should applying it to our life just like a little child does when someone says they're going to do something. It's not just about having a happy time when you really, really, really feel good. It's something we need to do on a regular basis. Remember one of the screens I had up there. Let me find it here. Believing is a choice. Resting is a choice. Rejoicing is a choice. Now, I was saying it's a requirement, but he's saying we have a free will to choose to do it. And are we going to obey what his word says? Because he's telling us to rejoice. He's telling us to rest. He's telling us to believe. Remember when the angels showed up and something amazing is about to happen? They said, don't worry. Don't get in fear about this, because about what you're going to see is going to blow your socks off. But we need to rest when we're believing. And while we're resting, we should be thanking him that it's done. Amen? Amen. So we're choosing this, but are we choosing what he said? It's a choice to obey his word or not. Well, maybe you're not having a good day. Maybe you've put the wrong socks on and something's rubbing on your toe. Maybe you've been told, you've been diagnosed with something. I remember I did education classes in college, and you know, there was a big thing about labeling children about with certain things, you know, hyperactivity disorders or whatever those terms are. I don't remember anymore. But, you know, maybe someone's put a label on you about something. You have this. You're that. Maybe you've been told that you're sick about something, that you're poor about something. Maybe you're not feeling well. Maybe you've had a bad day. Maybe you haven't played your country tapes backwards yet, and you don't have your trailer back and your dog back and your wife back. I don't know. But the word says every time you come into the house, you bring your offerings, you bring your family, and you rejoice. That's what the word says. Everybody, old ones, young ones, big ones, little ones, gray ones, bald ones, everybody rejoice. You rejoice, you rejoice, you rejoice, you rejoice, you rejoice, but maybe you had a hard day. Well, you rejoice anyways. You're acting like a little child believing his word when you come in happy, when you come in ready, because your attitude of expectation is what invites the Spirit to flow and the Spirit to move. Amen. Just like a little child. Just a little bit of that. Just a little bit of that rejoicing shakes that darkness off. You never walk into a room and flip on the light and the darkness goes, no! But when you come in and you turn that light switch on of faith, and you turn that light switch on of rejoicing, you turn that light switch on of peace and joy and resting, they run away in terror. The devils run away in terror. Satan runs away in terror. All those things run away in terror. That's why the Lord's commanding this, making this a requirement. He wants to keep his people in the right spirit, in the right place, and rejoicing will keep you there. But if you quit rejoicing and you start sliding away and you start sliding out of light and into the darkness, then that rejoicing, that peace, that joy, not everything in life is easy, but he's provided you with the ability to get through it. And so when you're going, I can't, well, remember what the children of Israel kept saying, we can't, there's no way, there's no how. And finally the Lord said, fine, you have it your way. We don't want that, do we? We want what His Word says. And His Word says, you believe my Word, you believe it, you apply it to your life, you rest on it, you expect it to happen, and you just rejoice and thank Him for it. It says in, I forgot why I had that up there. Let's see. There we go. Are we going to act like the baby? We're going to come in groaning and complaining. It says in Psalms 118, verse number 24, but this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But what if you got the bill in the mail? What if your bank account says this? What if the doctor's telling you this? Well, whose report are we going to believe? I'm going to believe what the report of the Lord is, and I'm going to rejoice in this day and be happy about it. This is the day. I will rejoice. I will be glad. I will run away. Push away all the sickness and the depression and the oppression, and those things are coming on top of us, all the sadness and the sickness and the poverty. I'm pushing it away because I'm choosing to rejoice. Can you imagine if the whole church was here listening right now and rejoicing? Can you imagine the atmosphere, the things going on, the spirit moving in this place? The healing comes, the breakthroughs happen, the miracles manifest while you're rejoicing, while you're praising Him, while you're thanking Him, because you're saying, Father, I believe your word is done. Father, I'm trusting you. Father, I'm resting in you while I'm saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Rejoicing means that you believe it. Rejoicing means you accept it. It's yours now. Amen. The Lord said in these scriptures that you don't come into my house with no rejoicing. It says you come in, you show up, you bring your offering, you bring your family, you bring the ones that don't want to be there, and you rejoice. You know, I cannot remember a time where my mom didn't allowed us to stay home. We were in church. I mean, she changed churches way too often. But we were at every church that we went to because she wanted us to be there. And not only were we there, we were part of it. We're involved. We're doing everything. And we're rejoicing about it. Amen? No matter what happens, no matter who is preaching or who's singing or whatever it is. You've all been to places where the singing is just, oh my Lord, let it be over soon. But you can create your own atmosphere there. Why? And you can enter in and get into that anointing and that same, because it's your expectation. Amen. If we're just sitting there like bumps on the log, you know, the person up here, it's hard for them. It's hard. I remember we had a new praise and worship leader in Cleveland, young fella. He was just like 2 or 3 years older than me. And his first night before praise and worship, this first night up there, he was in the back and he was just pacing back and forth. And I just thought he was nervous. And I said, you know, it's going to be okay. You're awesome. It's going to be a wonderful service. He goes, I know, but I'm nervous. This girl showed up out there and she's going to hear me for the first time. I was like, what are you saying? That didn't have anything to do with it, but I just thought it was funny. The Lord said in these scriptures that we come into this house rejoicing. In his case, he wasn't showing up ready to rejoice. He was coming. He was ready to show up and put on a show. We're not coming in to put on a show. We're coming in to tell the Lord how good he is, how wonderful he is. Who rejoices? Who rejoices? The pastor? Just the people who had a good day? Just the pretty ones, the ugly ones, the bald ones, whoever it is? The designated rejoicers? Wesley, you were up on stage. You're a designated rejoicer today. Notice what it says in the next feast. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse number 10. Then you shall keep the feast of weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as to the Lord your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and with and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are among you, and at the place where the Lord your God chooses, make his name abide. Who shall rejoice here? You shall rejoice. Who is that talking to, Wesley? Youinses. It's talking to y'all. Can you hear that, Melissa? It's talking to all of you youinses. Everybody rejoices. Everybody rejoices. Everybody rejoices. Well, maybe you had a hard day. Do you know there's a... my long day today. My legs are tired. I had every right to choose to lay down and have Donna put water on my face and make me feel good. Oh, I'm so faint. I can't come to church. You know, no. There's days when I haven't felt well, and guess what? I still showed up with my message. I still gave it to you. There was one day I showed up with a broken toe. I'm still preaching that night. You know, it says everyone's coming in. We're coming to church, and we shall rejoice. Well, maybe you've had a long week. Well, notice in verse number 13. We didn't read verse number 13. Let's read verse number 13. In just one moment. I'm letting some of my things load here so I can see where they're at. Verse number 13, verse number 16. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, and when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your wine press, what does that mean? Maybe you've been at work that day. You know, threshing was a hard work. You know, we heard Sally up here talking about, you know, threshing. It was today they just do it all by machine. You know, a machine runs over it. The machine actually itself does all the processing within the machine, sorts everything, and spits out things in the right bucket for them to take wheat to the market. But back in that day, you know, they're beating and they're throwing and they're throwing it up in the air for the wind to catch the seeds and all sorts. It was hard physical labor. You know, there's anyone ever have hard physical labor? Jerry does every day. She does everything. And but there's days where you've had it. It's been hard. It's been tough. But what does it say here? You come in from your threshing floor and from your wine press in verse number 14, and you shall rejoice in your feast, and your son and your daughter and your male servant and your female servant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are all within your gates. Maybe you've had one of those days. Maybe you've had this day. Maybe you went down the gutter. You ever had one of those days? Maybe you've had that day. And you're going down the gutter. You're going down the incinerator. But guess what? You're still showing up, and you shall rejoice. You might say, well, Wednesday nights are hard, blah, blah, blah. No, it says you were going to come to church. You're going to, even though you've worked hard that day, and you shall rejoice. Now, I'm pressing this hard, but maybe you woke up grumpy, and then you got out of bed, and you put your right clothes on, and your right shoes on, and you comb your hair. And you get your butt to church, and you have a good time, and you praise, and you worship, and you enter in, because that's what God's asked us to do. Even after you've worked all day, and you're tired, and you put up with that person, and you put up with this person, and when you get to church, and when you get before Him, you shall rejoice. You shall rejoice, and what should you do after that? You shall rejoice. Well, maybe you don't have a chance to go to church and you're still having a bad day. Guess what? You shall rejoice in your car while you're driving home from work. You're going to rejoice when you're in the shower and you're getting all the work off of you. You shall rejoice when you're going to bed, because that believing's a choice, that resting's a choice, and that rejoicing's a choice. But what are you going to choose in these situations? Some people aren't here because they were going down the gutter today. Some people aren't here because they've had a hard and tough week. But when we come together, we have multiplied rejoicing, combined rejoicing, and the combined anointing, and it all flows together and magnifies and flows together. Who's going to do the rejoicing? Ewans are. Everyone's going to do it. Now, notice what it says in verse number 14. The servants, the males and the females, and the Levite, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, shouldn't they have reasons to be sad? Shouldn't they have reasons to be upset? No, they're coming to church and they're going to magnify the Lord, and they're going to tell Him how good He is, how they're bringing them through this, how there is a bright and shiny thing in front of them, how their crooked places are being made straight and their rough places are being made smooth. But the widow may be having a hard time. Widow, rejoice. The lame may be having a hard time. Well, the lame person, rejoice. The poor person may be having a hard time. They should be rejoicing. But someone may have gotten evicted from their home. Well, it's time to rejoice. You're not rejoicing because you lost your home, but you're rejoicing about how good God is and how He's about to give you a better home, a bigger home, a bigger yard if you want a bigger yard. He's about to give you better things, a bigger one, a better one. But I'm sad, I'm tired, I'm hurt all over, I just lost my job. Well, that's the time to rejoice. I've heard all this before. You need to hear it again, and you need to rejoice. I mean, how many times have you ate? You know, I ate last month. You know, it was good. No, it's time to eat today. I'm going to get the food in, and I'm going to rejoice and thank Him for it. Amen? We're talking about spiritual food here. We do need to eat physical food. We're not rejoicing because of the problem, but we're rejoicing because of the goodness of the Lord. We're not rejoicing about the issue, but we're rejoicing about the goodness of God. How good He is. How merciful He is. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse number 15. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord and your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice. You shall surely rejoice. You shall rejoice. You shall surely rejoice. You might say, but this was just a special time of the year. Okay, let's debunk that one. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 through 2 and 10 through 11. And then it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and you dwell in it. Notice he's saying you don't have an option there. You're taking the land. That's the attitude we should have. I'm taking the land. I'm going to dwell in it. I'm going to possess it. I'm going to dwell in it. And then you shall take some of the first of all the produce of your ground, and you shall bring from your land that which the Lord had your God has given you and put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses and make his name abide. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, has given me. And you, then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord has given you to you and your house and to the Levite and to the stranger who is among you. The message in verse number 10 says, then place it in the presence of God, then place it in the presence of God, your God. Bow low in the presence of God, your God, and rejoice. Celebrate all the good things the God, your God, has given you and your family. So it's not just about this special feast. It's not just about this special time of the year, but when you're coming to the church, you're bringing your tithes, the things that you're doing for God. You're not doing it for the church. You're doing it for God, and you're going to choose to rejoice before Him. No matter what kind of day you've had, no matter what kind of week you've had, no matter what kind of month or year you've had, because rejoicing in His goodness, because we're telling Him how good He is, how wonderful He is. And the more you believe in His goodness, the more rejoicing you're going to do. And as we come together, we have this multiplied rejoicing, this combined rejoicing, and it takes it to another level. It takes it, it brings it up, and it magnifies His name. Because when we get to heaven, you know, it's not going to just be one person that's saying God is good and His mercy endures forever. It's going to be everybody there praising Him and worshiping Him. And that's how we should be on earth as it is in heaven. We should all be in here just magnifying Him and thanking His name. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're forever part of His family, forever ruling and reigning with Him. He has made you somebody in Him. That alone should be enough to rejoice about it. Every time you wake up in the morning, every time you open your eyes, every time you come to church, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. Jesus, I just thank You. I magnify You. I worship You. You're a good God. Your name is higher than any other name. Your name is worthy to be magnified. Your name is worthy to be praised. I magnify Your name above everything in my life, above every issue, above everything. I'm not dwelling on those things, but I'm dwelling on Your name. How merciful You are, how kind You are, how loving You are. And I say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank You, Jesus, for paying the price. Thank You, Jesus. We just magnify Your name. We just worship You. We thank You that the Holy Spirit's on the inside of us, reminding us, bringing to our remembrance of how good You are, bringing us to remembrance of how good things You poured out in our life. And I say, thank You, Father. You brought me out of it before. You're bringing me through it now. We're going to have better times. We're whole and complete, lacking nothing. We have more and better and being able to do more. And we just thank You, Father. We have more. We have more time to do it. We have more energy to do it. We have more money to do it. We have more abundance to do it. We have more friends to help. We have more people to bless. We have more things to accomplish for You. And we say, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I will come into Your house, and I will rejoice, and I will say how good You are, how mighty You are, and how merciful You are. And we just thank You. We praise You, 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 and we magnify You, Lord. And we just say thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. If you're sick in here, guess what? You shall rejoice. Thank You, Jesus. My body's well and whole. My body comes into alignment with what Your Word says. Your Word says that I'm whole from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Your Word says that I'm redeemed for the curse of the law. All those things listed in the curse and any other thing that's not listed there, I am redeemed. I don't have pain in that area. I don't have pain in this area. I don't have problems with that thing. I'm coming through this because Your Word says I am whole. Well, maybe your checkbook says, and maybe the bill says that you're lacking in this area. Well, guess what? I choose to rejoice that I am blessed. I have more than enough. I am an overcomer. I'm coming through this. We're coming out of this better. We're coming out of this prosperous. We're coming out of this stronger, and we're able to bless more and give more because of this. Well, maybe you're coming, you have a depression in your mind. Well, guess what? Thank you, Father. I have the mind of Christ. I have the peace that surpasses all understanding. I can remember all things. I am not being determined by fear. I'm being determined by faith. Fear is not going to rule me. I cast it down in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Jesus. Your word is true. I rejoice. Today is a day that you have made, and I choose to rejoice no matter the issue, no matter the problem. I shall rejoice. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. We just give you all the praise and all the glory, and we say that it's done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. So, maybe you had a rough week. Guess what? You shall rejoice. Maybe you had a tough day. You shall rejoice. Maybe your wife made you upset. You shall rejoice. Maybe your boss made you upset. You shall rejoice. Amen. And guess what? Bring it to church. Because on Sunday, while Pastor James or someone singing or whoever's singing up here, and you're entering in, you don't care what anyone else thinks, because you're blessing him. And as you're blessing him, he's changing your life. Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. I thought I wrote down something today I wanted to mention, but that was something else. Amen. You shall rejoice, you shall rest, you shall have peace, and you are an overcomer, and you will overcome. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful day. Be sure to be here Sunday. Amen. Praise God.